Warning, the podcast you're about to hear is very filthy. We say naughty words you'll eventually use as an adult anyway. It'll cause you not to eat your vegetables, and your mom generally thinks it's a bad idea. Any moment within the show that has any similarity to the history of any person living or dead or any actual events is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Except where specifically noted, otherwise in the cast and crew credits, all celebrity voices are impersonated and no celebrities have endorsed any aspect of this show.
Do you know what I'd like to know?
Have you told me before?
Nope.
Then how could I possibly?
I'd like to know why, oh why, oh why, the word gay has been so ruthlessly hijacked from our beloved English language.
I agree with your question 100%.
Gay used to be such a lovely word.
A lovely word.
Yes. Can't use it anymore. No. It's been taken away from us.
That's right. No longer can ordinary people such as we use an ordinary word like gay in an ordinary example of the great British sentence.
Without people thinking that you mean puffy. It's a disgrace.
Yes.
And there's another one, you see. Puffy. You can't say that anymore.
Of course you can't.
You used to.
All the time.
Yes, but now...
Now?
People think you mean arse bandit.
Arse bandit. There you go again, you see.
Well, of course you do.
You know, arse bandit. Perfectly decent couple of words.
That's right.
Used to use them every day.
So did I.
Would you care to have a go on the arse bandit? Quite innocently.
Yes, yes, or back in a moment, darling. I'm just taking the arse bandit to the menders.
But now, of course.
Nowadays.
People think you mean homosexual.
Right. Yeah. And there's another one. When was the last time you could use the word homosexual in its proper context?
Right. And it's such a lovely word.
Oh, it's one of the great words.
My word, Jane, I used to say to my wife, the garden's looking very homosexual, isn't it?
Lovely word.
Great word.
Yes, well, landlord, I'll have 2 foaming pints of your most homosexual beer.
Oh, and a packet of arse bandits as well.
And keep the change.
Right, yeah. But now...
Nowadays...
Well, people just laugh at you,
wouldn't
they?
Right, that's right. Oh, well, I'm off to the dry cleaners to pick up a couple of screaming benders. Are you coming?
If you want, then we can get them home and go to bed with them.
That's right.
Well, we started 3 minutes ago.
Okay. Welcome up to the Good, the Bad, and the Geeky. I'm Jimmy, the in pain guy. That's Nick. That's
Jimmy in pain.
Jimmy's in pain. He's going to be self-medicating with Chardonnay, since the title will not work.
Chardonnay who?
Chardonnay.
And, of course...
Chardonnay.
Chardonnay. That's an old school. That's Martin, isn't it? Chardonnay. Well, Mel props for.
That's the one black people drink.
Oh. Chardonnay. Chardonnay. All right. Of course, we have John.
What's up?
Connoisseur of wine. I'll take a 1874 white, please. Chardonnay. And our wine enthusiasts are screaming horrible bloody rape.
I'm just drinking a nice southern home Chardonnay.
And like clockwork.
Yep. Who's on the phone, Jimmy?
It was just a text message.
From who? Why don't you read it and share with the class?
Yeah, you know what? We're going to start doing that with loud text messages from now on.
You want to know what Morgan said?
Yes.
You really want to know?
I really do.
I
texted her that my back and neck hurt, and she goes, "That's odd. Maybe it's the changing weather. I bet a nice back rub would help."
Ooh.
I replied,
to the,
"I bet it would." I don't think she'll accept
Oh, we're already started out, but for those... Well, I don't even know how to recover from that.
Really dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of our most dysfunctional openings. I don't want to do email first this week. Somebody else, Nick, you do your email first.
I don't have an email.
You have to have an email. We always have an email.
I don't either.
So I'm the only one who's got an email?
Yeah.
Jimmy, it's all
so
you.
One real email.
I do.
Equals three made-up emails.
Because see, then we can all actually respond in real time to the real email.
It's kind of mean towards Nick, though. That's why I wanted him to read his email first, so he just didn't make up a mean one towards me.
Oh, I don't have to do that. I can just be mean without the email. Go ahead. Because we all know if it's fake, then it's by you. So.
No, it's not real mean. It's just a little critical.
Okay.
I don't think I didn't take it as mean, but then I was afraid.
Well, where did this email come from? Because I took you off as the forward list on the email and sent it to me.
I know.
And how'd you get it?
Because it was sent to me. It wasn't sent to the good web geeky.
What?
Right.
Yes. Uh-huh. See, now look, he's getting all defensive and I haven't even read it yet.
I know.
Why'd you take it up the forward? You were going to log in.
Because you were deleting emails from
only
people.
Only the one that I thought was fake and that it was ridiculous.
Either way.
Yeah.
Well, see, I don't delete emails.
Huh?
I don't delete emails.
Yeah. You might.
No, I wouldn't, even if it was harsh. And you know what? I would be a little bit more polite with my criticism back, because they listen.
Well, this is not a rude email the way other emails against me have been rude. It's just a question.
Well, then answer. Well, read the goddamn email. I just want to hear it. You're like teasing it up like it's some big...
I know. I'm looking. What's in the spam? Oh, there's actually spam. Okay, no, it's not a big deal. I was just... stalling while I got an email. Dear Nick, Jimmy, and John, how come the best of the good, the bad, and the geeky was half stuff that wasn't actually on the good, the bad, and the geeky? It was just Nick singing. And how come Nick's done the opening for like the last 5 months when you still rotate it?
What do you mean rotate it?
Like whoever the warning. This podcast.
We've never rotated the opening.
Yeah, we did. We all recorded last summer, and for a while you did different
people.
Well, you did it. I did, and Nathan did.
We never actually released those up front in the opening.
Nate's not even on the show anymore.
No, he didn't. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. We did it once, twice with you.
A few times.
But that was it.
Well, that's just what the email said. That's all I got.
You don't like to listen to
you. You do whatever. You answer however you want to answer.
I'm not even saying
that. I'm not
going
to fight about it. I'm just saying that's what the email says. You answer it.
In terms of the best, the why that was mostly stuff singing was A... I took some of the stuff that was the best stuff of all of us collectively that was musical, that wasn't, in my opinion, bad against the ears. I took the best stuff, I thought, which either is, or I put stuff in there that I've heard from other people that we've previewed before, it wasn't horrible to listen to, and would pass time. So, I think I put Hey Julie in there, but that's really the only thing that was
I love the Hey Julie.
That's the only thing I put in there, I think, of just me singing. Beyond that, I put in...
I don't know. I haven't listened to that.
I almost put the President song in there, but I thought, A, too much me, and B, I didn't like my performance on that as the President. And I want to put a song of John in there.
I liked your President song.
I thought I did a pretty good job.
I like the choice of the one of me.
Thank you. No, I tried to space it out evenly, and I tried to give it out to everyone evenly. I don't think that's a harsh criticism at all.
I'm pretty critical when it comes to my stuff. Like, if I hear it, and I'm like, I pick out every little stupid thing that's wrong.
And sometimes, too, is that we're all under the gun here sometimes when we're recording anyway. So we all... We're hand-tired, yeah. Well, John, at least, is because he has to play the guitar. And we usually do, like, 20 takes. But still, it's like we're under the gun trying to get it done. So I don't... That's not a harsh criticism.
We'll release a CD of just the takes that didn't make it.
I try to save him every once in a while and put him at the end of the show. But sometimes, though, there's too many. But
super little off color.
Well, my question is this to the person who wrote the email.
Yeah.
Is where or what else did you want me to put in there that didn't take up a lot of time? And the problem is with some of our old shows in terms of bits is that they're all interrelated with each other. So if you don't hear it the first time, you won't get it like the gay racism. Well, the gay stuff, sure, but we try not to do that too much anymore.
Yeah.
And the racist joke, which we try not to do it too much anymore either.
Sometimes we just can't help because Jimmy just...
Or, but I mean, it's in the same thing.
Sorry.
I understand.
So it really is a matter of two, is that we want to, and also some of the stuff, best stuff in there is some of the best stuff that Jimmy's written, which that's Jimmy's best strong point, I think.
Not the singing?
No.
No offense to Jimmy. I try not to ever point it out. Jimmy writes it into the songs himself, not me. I don't like saying it.
I agree that. But, well, I write it in because.
You have a good voice, Jimmy.
Yeah, right. Thank you, though.
He's getting better with age.
I think when I really try, I've been improving somewhat on certain songs. But no, I don't think I'm a strong singer, and that's why I put those jokes in there.
Right, but I tried to put something that we were all someone mostly involved in, except for one song. But something that we all featured on there before, because there's a lot of other songs, lots of songs we've all done before. I thought those were some of the best, so, and the best sounding takes. So that's why I put that
in there.
I haven't
gotten to that episode yet. I'm still on the episode before that, but
who wrote that? I'm just
somebody I work with at Champs that listens to the show.
Who is
Matt? You haven't
known. Matt, thank you for your criticism. I appreciate it. I wish you had actually written it to the Good, the Bad, and Geeky email instead, but I will take that in stride. But so that was a good email. It was nice to get an actual real life
email. That's cool.
I know. I like real emails. And see, I didn't just start screaming F you to the person and
well, he also didn't come across as a total asshole. It was worded more.
Well, that's still up for debate.
Other certain emails, Jimmy's a jerk and the show sucks with him. He's stupid.
Yeah, well, I wrote those when I was drunk.
Okay. And you also left yourself out of them quite well as well.
Rude.
Well done. Yeah. Well done.
They
got
rude. Anyway, that was my only email. And you guys said you didn't have any, so let's move to news. The first contestant for Celebrity Apprentice Season 2 has been announced. Tony Danza will be competing.
Yay.
Friend of Mary Lou Henner.
Also, Simpsons has been renewed for a full 20 seasons, tying it as the longest-running primetime show with Gunsmoke. The top actors in the show will receive almost $400,000 per episode just for their voice talents.
But it's important to note on top of that, though, is that they should have already been halfway done with the season of writing right now, mm-hmm. but they're not because the actors staged a coup. They've been on strike for the past 2 months. And part of that deal is that Dan Castellaneta joins the writing room and is now a head producer on the show, which I don't know how to take that because I like Dan Castellaneta.
Yeah.
He's funny, but I don't know how to gauge him as a writer for the show or any show. I mean, he used to be a writer on the Tracy Ullman show, which some of that stuff was funny. Simpsons originated there, but I don't know. That doesn't... I think the Simpsons are very slowly going towards their doom. Inching slowly.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. Hang on, there was something I wanted to record that I didn't send to the player. I'm going to check it out real quick. Another news story. Sex and the City, which I still haven't seen. I end up not getting to see it this week.
So yeah.
The review will hopefully be next week. You saw it? Well, John can review it. I can't review it. During the review section. Yeah.
We'll wait until you see it.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I read a review on it of Wikipedia. I know what happens too.
I gotta wait for Morgan to get done with her finals and stuff before I can see it.
Come on, Morgan, you're holding up the show.
That was very nice. She's not. It's not.
It wasn't me for what?
I know. Usually it is you. But Sex and the City was the best rated R comedy opening of all time.
Did you see butt sex?
technically,
time you hear a text message on Jimmy's phone, someone has butt sex with him.
I said butt sex in the
butt.
City. Actually, I don't think it would be a comma there. Correct.
It would be a dash.
Yeah.
No,
butt
no,
sex.
Not even that. It would just be
in. But Sex
I'm
in the City.
Get into it.
In Sex in the City News.
In Sex in the City News, Sex in the City. Sex in the City had the best opening for rated R comedy of all time.
Yes, it did.
Crushing the previous record held by American Pie 2.
And also in general box office, it crushed poor Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones stayed a strong second, I think.
Yes, a very strong second for Indiana Jones. That movie should be kicking some ass.
Well,
hey, I'm proud of Sex and the City because everyone thought that movie was going to either hit it or it was going to bomb, and everyone was saying it was probably going to bomb. So I'm proud of it.
No, I am too. I'm glad that things.
Overall, without giving a review, would you say it was good?
Yes.
Good.
Very well.
In other news stories.
No, good. Not very well.
Oh, it's good. Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Yes, Jimmy.
Words in my mouth.
I'm sorry. I do that. Another criticism of mine. A self-criticism. Something that I do.
You said
do-do. I do that a lot. Okay. Okay, Jimmy, as you're saying, more news.
Yeah, hang on one second.
All right, so Ray Romano's next big pilot is called Men of a Certain Age.
Like, didn't we already talk about that? A month ago?
Well, yes, but it was rumored about.
Updates on it?
Yes, it was It was rumored about. It's actually being picked up by TNT officially,
yeah.
And Andre Bagger is now one of the few actors who's been cast in it. So.
I did not know about the Andre Bagger thing. I just knew the show was picked up. Hang on. I thought I saw something else right here, but now I can't find it. No, I don't see it right now. So, moving on. Our summer shows, lots of them are premiering. I've got some reviews, but I've got a list of summer premieres, so we can go over them real quick. Million Dollar Password already premiered. I'll review my first viewing of that, and probably my only viewing of that later on. Big Brother will be back July 13th.
Yay!
And also on Sunday nights, High School Musical, Get in the Picture, July 20th, which I'm not going to watch,
though
I like High School Musical. And at 9 p.m., there's a new game show on CBS called Jingles, premiering July 27th. Huh. Monday nights, American Gladiators is already back, The Bachelorette's already back, and the second night of High School Musical, Get in the Picture, I guess it's going to be Sundays and Mondays, whatever. And Wanna Bet, which is an ABC game show. And The Mole is already back. Nashville Star, which was the first show canceled for the year, is going to air on NBC. Moment of Truth has already premiered. Wipeout, Celebrity Family Feud, Hell's Kitchen, America's Got Talent. They've got so many premieres coming up.
Celebrity Family Feud?
Big Brother's going to be on two nights. Yes, Celebrity Family Feud premieres July 1st.
Who is it just going to be? The Baldwins
NBC.
And the Arquettes?
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to see. I want to see. It's on NBC.
That should be interesting. I mean, I'd like to see some real families, not all Hollywood families.
Do they have, like, Angelina Jolie and John Boyle?
It doesn't say. It doesn't say. We'll see on July 1st.
They'll bring,
We'll see on July 1st. I'm curious.
Yeah, all eight of their children, where the heck it is.
Six. Six now, I believe.
Plus the twins that were supposedly fake born.
No, I think with the birth of the twins, it's six. I'm curious about this. I Survived the Japanese Game Show, which premieres June 24th.
Oh, I know what that is.
What is it?
It's, my mom was all excited about this. Mm-hmm. My brother and I got her hooked on that MXC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Most Extreme Elimination, or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Where they. Chinese
was that on Spike
show.
Or G4?
They might show it on both.
Okay.
You know where they have
the obstacle course and
the obstacle course and the funny.
Where was we all?
The Japanese guys, but they're having the American version based on that.
Nice. All right, so the fifth grade cup. Big Brother's on three nights. I'm sorry.
Yeah, three nights.
Three nights. Wow.
Always.
Fear Itself is a horror anthology that premieres tonight, so we'll be reviewing that. Fear Itself, it's a horror anthology on NBC. It's
kind of like
horror. The... Every week it'll be like a mini horror movie.
Oh,
like an
confused.
Hour long. That's why it's an anthology, like a...
It's a horrorology.
That's not exactly what I was going to say. Swingtown also premiered tonight, which is the drama about the swingers, which we're also recording, at least the first one.
Also, that is a Steve Miliband song.
Is it?
What, Swingtown?
Yes.
Cool.
And Flashpoint is the other big drama that CBS is going to premiere.
Was it from the 70s?
Yeah.
Wow. Coincidence? I think not.
I think it is.
That's called Swingtown? Really? Wait, that sounds like a
come
like.
Come on, dance. Come on, dance.
That's. I thought that was Paul McCartney and Wings. Holy shit! I have been holy my entire life, misguided.
Swing Town.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, I sincerely felt that was Paul McCartney and Wings my entire life.
It does kind of sound like it.
Yeah, like, especially because he has that weird, whoa, kind of Paul McCartney thing going on. Like, it sounds British, but then it evens out to, like, weird American English.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Hey, on your list of shows, was there anything, name that tune? I heard they were bringing that back.
No, I don't see it.
That would be on Game Show Network you were hearing, or?
No, it was going to be on the radio.
The three big networks?
Yeah, they have like a big name person hosting it.
It'll be Regis Philbin for the first 6 weeks.
Regis is doing, shit, which one is he doing?
Password.
Password,
just for the first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
In prime time.
Then who does it?
I have no idea.
Meredith Vieira.
No idea. Read another news story while I finish.
All right. It was mentioned, rumored before that Chris McCartney would be returning at some point to Greek by the end of this season. It's actually next season. She premieres in the encore, or in the premiere episode for her encore on Greek. Jay Leno.
Oh, Chris McCartney's coming back to Greek?
Yep.
I haven't watched Greek in a month. It's piling up on the Latino.
Yeah, she is coming back. So for those fans of her from Buffy that only watch the show for that or watch for other merits, there you go. Jay Leno's big secret is out. No, he's not gay.
Yes,
but,
he is.
Well, that's up to be debated by us.
Well, not in the homosexual sense, in the stupid sense.
And not in the ass bandit sense either.
Yeah, they are.
But he's doing a show on CNN once he leaves NBC's Tonight Show, which he'll leave in the much more capable hands of Conan O'Brien.
Absolutely.
And
just checking right now to make sure I got. I'm trying to clear out the downstairs TV because I'm recording a bunch of. We're doing a marathon of Meerkat Manor tomorrow, and I've been like dying to see that show. So I'm recording a whole bunch of episodes of Meerkat Manor.
Jimmy, I hate to break this to you, but Flower is dead.
Funny,
Jimmy.
Funny?
Yes.
Jimmy.
It's about, right?
Yeah, it's they. It's a bunch of meerkats, but they make it a soap opera drama type.
You thing. Know, Flower's dead, right?
I don't know who Flowers is. I've never seen the show.
Flower's the lead freaking character.
Yeah.
That was like the big finale, like
Thank
last
you
last
for
year.
Ruining it for me.
Well, it's okay. It's the new season, so I think
well,
they have a new patriarch.
I'm recording a big marathon of season one.
Actually, it's funny. Once they killed Flower off, or you know, she really did get eaten or something. They released the next season was actually like a prequel, like when they were recording a documentary for something else, and it happened to
wow,
be about Flower.
It's got four seasons. I thought it was
yeah.
Just,
it's huge, dude.
Was in 30 episodes. But the first season was 13 episodes, the second season was 13 episodes, the third season was 13 episodes. So maybe it's just the third season that's recording the marathon. It looks like, ooh, it looks like most of the third season is rerunning this week, except for one episode, for some reason. Hmm. But they're also running some selected episodes of season two. So I will have to look more into that. The Mole, I guess, has been off for 4 years.
Yeah, there's still an unaired season of Celebrity Mole.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
You know, I love that show, Celebrity Mole. I really did.
Yeah, I actually was wanting to see it, and then they never aired it, and I was very sad.
I can't remember the guy's name that was in it.
Kathy Griffin was in it.
Right.
Was one of them.
Shit.
Jay
not
Moore?
The, not the Baldwin guy. I can't remember what movie he was on.
Mary Lou Henner?
Angelique. Major League. He was in the movie Major League.
Tom Berenger? Wesley Snipes?
No, no, yeah.
Oh, the black guy? He's in the unit?
No, he's an old
Charlie
guy.
Sheen? No.
I don't know. I'm horrible with names.
Okay.
Tony Hale, who played Buster on Arrested Development, the kind of weird brother, the weirdest of the brothers, is going to take a reoccurring role on Chuck as Bymore's new assistant manager. He's also having a reoccurring role on Samantha Who. He's going to pull double duty next season.
That is... Man,
that's
you got
sweet.
That.
You missed that?
Story? No, I had it. You got it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not your fault.
Showtime ordered 12 episodes of The United States of Tara.
Got it again.
Talk about it. Go for it.
No, I was just all I was going to say. It just got picked up for 12 episodes for The United States
Spielberg
of Tara.
Spielberg produced DreamWorks comedy from Juno screenwriter Diablo Cody.
Right.
It's about a wife and a mother with dissociative identity disorder, the thing that Sybil had. I guess they're remaking Sybil, too. It's on Saturday night. This week, there's a brand new version of Sybil, like the TV movie. Or no, it's a TV movie, you know. starring in this new show, The United States of Terror, is Toni Collette, John Corbett, and Craig Gillespie. Craig Gillespie's not starring. He directed the pilot. He also did Larger Than a Real Girl. The other two are starring. Nick brought this up to my attention. We were talking about this. Capricorn 1. It's not a good movie from, 30 years ago? 30 years ago. I've seen it. It had O.J. Simpson and stuff. And I thought it was interesting, but not, I can't remember whether it's the moon or Mars. I'm assuming it's Mars, since that actually was a moon landing, but they, fake the Mars landing in a studio, and then they try to kill the astronauts because they want to come out and ruin it. The original form, was Elliot Gould, James Brolin, and O.J. Simpson were the three astronauts. I forgot it was Elliot Gould and James Brolin. I just remembered O.J. Simpson. This was all before his crap went down. And it was Mars. Featured a score by Jerry Goldsmith. Yeah, but he was dead.
He's dead now. That's right. What Jimmy meant.
And Total Recall, theme music was based on the theme music of Capricorn 1. Hmm. But they're remaking it. I don't know why.
Jimmy Smith is joining the Showtime show Dexter.
What?
This is what TV Guide says. Emmy and Globe winner Jimmy Smith has joined the cast of Showtime Dexter and will be featured in 10 season 3 dozen episodes premiering this fall. Smith will play Miguel Prado, an ambitious and charismatic assistant district attorney who comes out of one of Miami's most politically powerful and beloved sugarcane dynasties. Families. Our boy Dex will join forces with crime buster Prado to check a murder who will affect both their lives directly. Nice little ad in there for Kane fans.
Yeah. I wish I had Showtime.
I will be getting Showtime.
I know.
I might be typing, depending on things, weeds for somebody.
You're going to be recording weeds for me, Amanda, because we love you.
That doesn't really mean anything to me.
You should watch Dexter, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm planning to. If I tape Weeds, I will tape Dexter, and then you can come over and watch it.
Right.
We'll have Dexter night and Weeds night.
You don't have to watch Weeds.
I wish you could watch the first season of it somehow.
Amanda and I can even come over while you're at work and watch it, so you're not exposed to it in the
least. Dad had got Showtime again. He said he has it on demand. Uh-huh. He's like, it's really cool. There's cussing and blood and titties and stuff. I love my dad.
On what show?
Dexter. Dexter. Almost every. Yeah, there's that one episode where the girl he's dating, wants to, looks like he's tense, so she, gives him a blowjob. Well, in the CBS version, they just cut away and goes, "Was that good for you?" Apparently, they show it, and then, she shows her boobs for a bit, and she, gives him a boob, ham job or whatever, and yeah, they go all into it, and it's just
CBS in your crappy versions.
Blame the FCC. I
don't think they would have gotten away with that anyway. But.
That's true. I also do like it too, the British Office, how would they can get away with on there?
Yeah.
They kept calling Garth cock.
I know. I wish American television wasn't so.
I know.
Thanks to the Republicans.
I know.
And Christian Wright. They released the title of Transformers 2, and it is not Electric Boogaloo, as it had been rumored.
Revenge of the Fallen.
Revenge of the Fallen.
Which means if Jazzbot comes back, I might be a little mad.
Gary Cole and Jeffrey Tambor joined Catherine O'Hara for Rob Thomas's Good Behavior pilot.
The Bill Evengall show, have any of you watched that on TBS?
No.
Apparently it has a deal with CBS that it's going to be re-airing season one this season. It's a new TV show. And the deal is that if it hits big, it'll start airing one season behind on CBS. And the deal is CBS has to promote CBS's fall lineup. That's all they have to do. So Bill Evengall might be hitting it big here pretty soon on CBS. Yeah. Because the show is actually doing pretty well on TBS, yeah.
I don't think he's very funny.
I don't really either, but I don't know. I think it's up there a lot with According to Jim, which I love Jim Belushi, but that show is so mediocre and hackney. But and for those fans of The Hills, apparently the spinoff is true.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. That Bi Girl has her own show. That's on Wing. I don't know anything about it except for that.
Ryan K. Vaughan, writer producer on Lost, it was also making Marvel's Runaways for the big screen.
Yeah.
Wrote a script called Roundtable that was just picked up by DreamWorks. He's going to do the King Arthur legend, but it says it's more Ghostbusters than Excalibur, It revolves around Merlin assembling a bunch of modern-day knights to battle resurrected ancient evil. But today's knights are washed-up athletes, cowardly scientists, and Academy Award-winning actors.
is that the Runaways?
That's another script he wrote.
I was going to say that. Okay.
It's called Roundtable at the moment.
Gotcha.
Shit, what's the main... Okay, there's some story about Terminator 4, but I gotta scroll through.
Oh, I know what it is.
What's the story?
Pretty much, there's a leak that says that the whole movie doesn't follow John Connor, it follows a Terminator.
Well, it says something or other. The rumor is now a spoiler, it's been confirmed.
Right. And the whole thing is that at the end of the movie, the Terminator gets blown up.
Oh, I see it.
And so does, does John Connor. And so, being that they want to keep the war going on, the resistance going on, they take the skin off John Connor and put it on the now-finished Terminator, and that's how the movie ends. I don't care anymore. If they do that, it, for me, has ruined the entire franchise. Three ruined the franchise.
Yeah.
Well, this is why John Connor survived the resistance for so long. They can't kill him because he was a Terminator, is what they're doing with it.
They, you know,
kind of cool.
James Cameron is, like, just crying right now going, what have you done to my baby?
This is supposed to be the
baby.
First of three new movies.
I know. So. Well, McG has come out and said that that's not true, that he says only three people know the ending of the movie, and that's not it, because he's trying to dispel, because there's a lot of people are now upset about it.
Right,
but
right.
I think it is true, and if that's the case, I just am going to cry and not pay money to see it.
Yeah.
No, I probably will. Because I suck, but
yeah, I'm gonna totally see it.
Guy Ritchie, and speaking of other like British directors, because McG is sort of somewhat British, Guy Ritchie is signed on to write and direct a new movie about the fictional detective Sherlock Holmes. Warner Brothers expects it out in 2010. I think this is sort of cool. Now it depends on what source you're going by. Adam Sandler is doing a new movie with Seth Rogen and Judd Apatow about comedians. And the thing is that supposedly, it's somewhat more of a serious movie, so he wants to go back and do stand-up again. And so he might, and this is the part, depending on different sources, some sources say that he's going to be touring the U.S., and he's going having a documentary recorded also. A, he can watch it and learn for himself, but B, so that they can release it as a separate movie or a DVD documentary for the movie and watch him bomb on stage and... I think that'd be cool because Adam Sandler in person on his old stand-up had his guitar.
Yeah.
He would do sketches and I don't know. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But the movie's unnamed, though. It's just called the Judd Apatow Untitled Comedy.
And Judd Apatow?
Whatever.
Okay. I thought I used to mispronounce words bad, and I do mispronounce words bad, but... Names. Nick's weakness is names. My weakness is just normal words that everybody
says.
Pronounce?
Isn't it pronounce?
Yes, but I do it on purpose because I got to stick with Nathan.
He also does that Eddie Murphy laugh too.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Poor Shaq.
Poor Shaq.
Mr. Carter!
I'll allow that. Angel and Demons has been rumored about because everyone knows it's supposed to be greenlit. But ever since the strike, no one knew if it was actually in production.
Oh, it's still in production.
Oh, it's in production now for sure because they had to shut down production because Tom Hanks hurt his hand. It's only for a week, though. They'll be resuming it next week. But apparently, he's been wincing in pain, so the reports say. So they're stopping production.
Nick volunteers to nurse you back to health, Mr. Hanks, if you know what I mean.
You know what? Tom Hanks is badass. I would totally nurse Tom Hanks back to health using my lack of financial, or not financial aid. Medical aid knowledge.
I was making it a gay joke. You were going to sexually please you.
I'm not an ass bandit. I don't.
You really want to talk about butt sex?
I'm not
poofy.
You're the one
stripping your guitar neck like it's a penis.
What are you talking about?
I think you have such a big guitar to compensate for your low self-esteem.
The last news bit I have, which I don't think it matters, but is news, is that apparently Sharon Stone, her little comments, we've not reported about it at all, but apparently she made some kind of comment after the earthquake or something in China.
Yeah.
Well, apparently she's, like, because she can't get working in the U.S., she's been doing foreign films in China, and she got kicked off of, like, three China films. One of them was supposed to be, like, a big China blockbuster called Mermaid Island. She got fired immediately from it. And that's why she released a second apology statement, and it's like, too late.
Yeah.
You're fired.
I thought it was funny because I don't. Well, I don't like Sharon. The girl can't act anyway, except for in like Casino. Her. But
yeah.
We've got tons of reviews, including yes. our featured review on Lost, and then some season premieres this summer. Might we be able to get a little fun little Lost sound clip during our break?
Yeah.
So she'd only use as the opening.
Yeah.
Okay.
I totally
really
won't.
Really want to campaign it in there.
I totally won't.
Please? I will make sure you do. I will record it here with you.
No, you won't, because I'll wait purposely up until like 12 o'clock and you'll be pissed at me anyway. You'll be like, I'm going to bed.
Right now while we do our break,
no, we won't.
Live.
No, we won't.
Oh, yes, we will.
Am I singing now?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what? Let's do the live break. Jimmy, you know what? No. Let's just do it this way.
Yeah.
Let's do a live break. Folks, we're not editing this at all.
So good luck, people.
Yeah.
John will go first while I queue up the
other bit. No, queue it up. And John, John wanted to do a country flavor. That way we don't have to deal with the weird TiVo sounds during a song. All
right.
So you wanted to do a more of a country flavor, correct?
Yeah. I muted TiVo.
I was
going to
hillbilly it up today.
Hillbilly it up? That's an interesting choice of words. I enjoy hillbilling it up and
how's
rocking.
Can you hear it?
Oh, it sounds good.
Nick?
Alright.
What?
Oh, wait. I was going to say you were saved because I couldn't find
radio,
it,
right?
But I was not in the recycle bin. I was
What's
in
that?
Sorry.
I didn't delete it. I don't delete
no.
your shit.
It was in the recycle bin, but I was looking at the upstairs TiVo, and that's why I couldn't find it.
Well, don't get mad at me for looking in the wrong bin.
I wasn't mad at you. I was going to say, Nick,
TiVo's like a maze
like we're not
of bins.
Be able to do it, but then I realized we are.
Oh, really? We can't?
But we are. Yes. But we can, because I found it.
But yeah, so John, what general song do you have?
What general song?
Well, Nick, it's horrible with words. Where's Nathan when you need him?
This song's on the radio now, actually. It's by Brad Paisley.
Brad Paisley. Oh, I like Brad Paisley.
It's a humorous song.
I like humor.
It is about relationships.
Universally loved.
Yes.
And understood.
I'll just sing it for you. Just
okay, yeah.
Listen
yeah.
to the words.
We'll take
it
in. I
think every guy, can relate to a couple lines in this song.
I can't, because I'm not every guy.
We've established that.
You see a deer, you see Bambi.
I relate.
I see antlers up on the wall.
I relate to that too.
Hunters.
Alright, you gonna talk while I'm playing or what?
No, it's just like you proved me wrong. Go ahead.
No, maybe I'm done. Maybe I'm done, Jimmy.
Okay, Nick. Go ahead.
See, this is why we like to record it after the show. Jimmy's up in his room playing with himself. And
not playing with myself. My door would be closed if I was playing with myself.
All right, I'm gonna start over.
Okay, go ahead. Hey, Nick, did you watch that show last night?
Shut up, dude.
You see a deer, you see Bambi. I see antlers up on the wall. You see a lake, you see picnics, and I see a largemouth up under that lawn. I know what you're thinking, that you're gonna change me. In some ways, well, maybe you might. Scrub me down, dress me up, but, well, no matter what, remember, I'm still a guy. You see a priceless French painting. I see a drunk naked girl. You think that riding a wild bull sounds crazy? I'd like to give it a whirl. Love makes a man do some things he ain't proud of. And in a weak moment I might walk your sissy doll, hold your purse at the mall. But remember, I'm still a guy. I'll pour out my heart, hold your hand in the car. Write a love song that makes you cry. Turn right around, knock some jerk to the ground. Cause he caught the feel as you walk by.
Whoa.
Can hear you now talking to your friends. Saying, yeah, girls, he's come a long way.
dragging his knuckles and carrying a club, building a fire in a cave. When you say a back rub means only a back rub, you swap my hand when I try. Oh well, what can I say at the end of the day? Honey, I'm still a guy. Pour out my heart, hold your hand in the car. My love song that makes you cry. Turn right around, knock some jerk to the ground. Take out the feel as you walk by. These days there's dudes getting facials, manicured, waxed, and Botox. Deep spray on tans and creamy lotion-y hands. Can't grip a tackle box. Yeah, with all of these men lining up to get neutered, it's hip now to be feminized. I don't highlight my hair, I've still got a pair. Yeah, honey, I'm still a guy. My eyebrows ain't plucked, there's a gun in my truck. Oh, thank God, I'm still a guy.
Now, see, this would go on the best of the good, the bad, and the geeky.
Absolutely.
That was great.
That was a great song.
You put up with both of ours, little snickering.
Well, it was funny.
During the false start. Of course it's a good song. And John's a good performer.
Brad Paisley's a good writer.
Nah, he is. I'll give
you loved
that.
His first album, like his big album when it came out. I was doing country.beonair.com, which is no longer around anymore. But one of the things that we weren't really supposed to do at the time, and we'll cue up Jimmy's thing here in a bit, was he did a cover of the Munsters theme.
Really?
It's like a hidden track. It's on the CD, I think. I have it somewhere.
Really?
Somewhere buried away. But, I mean, it's really good. And I remember I played the hell out of it.
You need to find that.
It's good. It's Monsters or the...
I have a lot of Brad Paisley songs. Like, random stuff that...
He did a song, cover song on the Car soundtrack, which is mostly country.
Yeah.
And that's...
He did a couple
that
there.
Was
he did,
good there, too.
Yeah, he's done a lot of them. It's a good guitar play too.
Yeah. So, all right, Jimmy, are we almost ready?
Yeah, I was ready.
Ever,
I was just
look at some of his music videos; they're pretty funny.
No, I haven't. This is a little clip from The Daily Show that I played for Nick yesterday. It's from Tuesday night. It really cracked us up. It has.
Yes.
It's apropos with our Lost review this evening. This is their new correspondent.
I do want to welcome you. Welcome you to the show. We brought you on board, obviously, for your insight, tremendous experience with political campaigns, your keen analysis. Your thoughts on these primaries?
They were cool.
Yes. 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 Very cool. I was hoping for a little more. Give us a little more than just cool.
Okay. How about they were boring? I watch TV to be entertained, to find out who mysteriously died and then undied on Lost, or why Flavor Flav brought Thing 2 back on Flavor of Love. Not to mention that poor wifeless farmer on the CW, all alone on his farm, sowing beans and tilling pigs.
I don't think that last one's a real show. Why? I don't.
You know, it's that attitude that keeps farmers wifeless. But the point is, John, this campaign's been a nonstop rerun. I get it. He wins, she loses, she wins, he loses. Nobody gives up. I've seen this before. It was on Lifetime. It was about a plucky ethics professor struggling to get tenure, and it starred Joanna Kearns and Meshack Taylor.
You don't find it compelling enough discovering who the next Democratic nominee, possibly the next president of the United States, will be?
Where's the polar bear, John? I'm the polar bear. When the polar bear showed up on Lost, I was hooked. A polar bear on a tropical island? There are so many reasons that's amazing. This political season's been more like Lost Season 2. I mean, are we going to spend the whole year in the hatch? Nothing's happening, and I can't TiVo forward.
Whoop, whoop.
let's say I care if Hillary Clinton somehow got the support of enough superdelegates to win a nomination. Will that get Jack and Kate together?
Are those people on Lost?
Yes.
I don't think it will.
Then I don't care. It got interesting for a minute when the lady was...
Hillary Clinton.
Right, yeah. When she started winning primaries and that preacher dude messed things up for the Tiger Woods looking guy.
Barack Obama. Barack Obama.
Sure, yeah. Then he came back and he won North Carolina. And I was like, oh, this is like when Michael comes back to the island and starts working for the others. Who are actually good guys. What?
More loss.
Good guys. That's what these primaries needs. It needs Bill Clinton switching sides and secretly working with Obama to stop Hillary Whitmore.
Whitmore. Is Whitmore the name of a person?
On Lost.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
That was it. That's the glory of The Daily Show. That's the new correspondent.
Yeah, that was pretty...
Gives me great hope for him. That was his very first segment. So, we've got reviews.
Turn the microphone around.
Like that?
No, turn it around more. There you go. Now I can hear you.
Okay.
Yay.
Anyway, we watched the season finale of Lost.
Oh, not only did we watch it, we fucked it.
Oh,
hardcore. Not really. That's a little weird. Can't really do that to a show.
I didn't watch it because, you know,
you haven't started watching Lost.
I have never seen an episode of Lost in my life.
See, that's the only bad thing is that John is totally. No, but we're hoping that by the time you actually do start watching, you won't remember a damn word we said.
Because
you're mostly blocking us out anyway.
I won't be able to, you know.
Who's a name to
right,
what?
Right. Yeah. The flash forward stuff caught up to the present.
Yeah.
And they actually showed the Oceanic Six get off the island. And then the island fucking disappeared. Just, whoo, it was there 1 second. The next minute, the water's empty and there's a ripple. And the island is gone. It was fantastic. And Michael blew up and died. Hopefully, Jin survived, but we'll see.
Yeah, we're hoping Jin survived, but we don't know.
But I agree with lots of people who said it was among the best episodes of the series. I thought it was just...
It overall, for everything else except for the heart, I don't know. I thought Charlie dying was pretty...
True.
Emotionally made it
but
worth...
But seeing Locke in the coffin was pretty badass.
No. Everything else about... That's what I'm saying. The entire episode did not disappoint. I'm just saying in terms of...
The emotional level of Charlie. I'll agree.
Yes.
I'll give you
that was the only thing. Beyond that, though...
The closest to
it was good.
Was Desmond
It was like watching an action movie. Like Die Hard with a Vengeance unfolding before you.
Well, Desmond actually
awesomeness.
Getting reunited with Penny was what melted my heart, but I
that
agree.
Was good.
It's not quite to the emotional
Well, yeah, because you know that Ben's going to go out and try to kill Penny.
I know.
And that's why it's not investing because
you don't know if Penny's going to survive.
Ben's 10 months into the future, and...
No, not now. Now they're... Well, yeah, okay. You're right, because we did see further flash forwards.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, I don't want to get into too much detail in case you haven't seen it or something.
Michael is Jacob.
No, he's not.
You've not seen it yet,
well,
so and we're not ruining.
Michael.
Don't
he's
you're
like,
ruining
oh,
things. That's
so
what
good.
I was doing.
So good.
It's doing fake out. So like, but are we going to try not to spoil? Or are we going
no,
to try?
Because John's in the bathroom now, so it doesn't matter. I just don't want to spoil it for John. Anybody that watches or listens to our show. And
okay,
also
Michael dies. John locks in the coffin out of three possible endings, and apparently Sawyer should have been in the coffin, but due to fan backlash.
Right.
They
quickly could have killed Sawyer. I would have been mad about Sawyer.
Well, the thing is, apparently John and Sawyer were interchangeable because no matter what, the character wasn't dead.
Right.
Because apparently the character existed in the future. He also existed in the past. It's just that in the present, he would be dead. Which, you know, supposedly. And the fan backlash after they promised that, oh, we promised, you know, Locke won't be in there. And then they put, then Lost fan again came out and said, no, it's Sawyer. People just got mad, and so they went back the day of and edited it out. So, very exciting stuff. The pure fake out was Desmond in the coffin, which, that wouldn't have saddened me that much, I guess, because...
Oh, that would have killed me.
Well, just because I know that Ben's going after Penny, and I don't think nothing's going to stop him.
I think they'll be able to... Well, I'm hoping they can save Penny. Desmond and Penny are the only chance of having a happy couple at the end of the series, so...
Yeah, and my other thing, though, that I totally disagree with that guy is that I don't think the others are necessarily good.
No, no.
In terms of what we've seen for the castaways, they're good.
Right, right.
But in the overall scheme of things, they're not. That's the problem with that show. You don't know who's good, who's bad. Like, we have an idea that for certain characters, for what we've seen in the show, that they're good. I mean, for all we really know, that Mr. Widmore might actually be the good guy.
Bad things. I mean,
well, no, that's the whole point of the show is redemption. If before they go to the island, everyone has done something very bad, seemingly except for Jack. He's the only one who's and Hurley's not really. No, Hurley did do something
bad. Jack's done bad stuff. Are you kidding me?
What did Jack do bad in terms of murdering or killing somebody?
He didn't murder or kill somebody, but his alcohol.
Everyone else
and his going craziness and his
that was after
guilt
the island
for what things he's done.
That's,
no, he had. Bad times in the flashbacks. He had bad times in the flash forwards.
Yeah, but that wasn't
okay,
really...
Right. He hasn't been bad on the island, but before the island and
No. I'm talking about before the island. After the island, when
before
he wants to go
island,
back,
he
yeah.
had some rough times.
Yeah, but nothing really bad, like he killed somebody.
No, but he had to run away and get
because, like, even Hurley, who is, like, the coolest character in the show, one of the coolest characters in the show...
But he destroyed his marriage.
Yeah.
Hurley didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, he did.
No, the curse killed them, not him.
He no, the curse had nothing to do with it. He walked out onto a dock, and because of his weight, because he's so fat, it crushed the thing and it killed the people.
He had no.
And so he feels guilty. Yeah, well, it really wasn't his fault, but he feels guilty for it. But that's what I'm saying. Everybody at least killed somebody.
Jack is a doctor. I guarantee you he killed.
Yes, but we've not seen anything that caused him to kill somebody. That's why I'm saying. Well, it's obvious. He's a doctor.
I would disagree with that argument, but
well, I would. I failed. To agree with that argument.
I don't feel like you've made a strong enough point for me.
I don't... I agree with that about you.
Okay. Well, I wasn't trying to
we
make a
point. We have agreed to disagree.
I wasn't trying to make a point, so it's cool.
I was not either until you started bringing that up, and now I am trying to make a point.
I watched The Bucket List this week.
Oh, what a weird tangled web we weave.
The Bucket List was quite good. Made me a little teary. Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman delivered fantastic performances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sean Hayes, completely understated... was not Jack at all. Like, for a minute, I could see it, like, simmering behind his eyes, but not a single line was a Jack line. He was very reserved. It was nice to see him act and do something different.
I watched two things. One of them was an old movie that I've not seen until, like, I don't really remember. I just remember the songs, and that is The Jungle Book.
Yeah.
It's a horrible, horrible movie. Absolutely putrid, horrible. Oh. The plot is just so bad. Like,
yeah,
it was bad. I watched on YouTube. It was one of those things I just got bored one night because I, for some reason, I found I was looking up. Oh, speaking of which, have you guys seen the live action WALL-E?
Live action WALL-E?
Yes.
No.
Oh my God! It stands about this tall. About I'm pointing out 3 or 4 feet, and it's real. It's a real machine. It's downright creepy. You know someone else where it's controlling it. But yeah. they took it from Disney World, where it's apparently been like shown once a week, but only for like 5 minutes, and they put it away. They took it to the streets of L.A. and did finally announced it to the world. And apparently there are toys they're releasing that are about two feet tall that you can – it'll be not as flexible, but it'll do about as much stuff. And it pretty much goes, hi, everyone. Do you know everyone know who this robot is? Announce yourself to everywhere. He goes, WALL-E. He moves around. And he wheels around. And finally, one of the girls who's taping it, like, looks at him. And he goes, ooh. And he starts waving his hand in front of the camera. And he's like, who do you love, WALL-E? He goes, aw, Eve. It's just badass.
Huh.
Very cool. He makes me even more geeked out for the thing. And apparently one of my friend's friends... is the one of the animators who's working on the remotes or helped design the remotes at Disney. So very, very cool. But yeah, Jungle Book is not a good film to watch again. The songs are great. It's the first time I ever watched a Disney musical go on. The song's great, but the movie doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I just noticed the ceiling fan was on, and with the air conditioning on, the ceiling fan does absolutely nothing. It just moves the air around. So it's kind of a waste to have it on.
Oh,
that's why I turned it
on. I like it because it makes me feel like the air is hitting me.
Yeah, it really doesn't do anything to cool the room.
Bare necessities, the
bare.
Yes, that's actually the only song. My favorite
that is
song.
The big song from it.
Yeah, but my favorite song on that is the one with the monkeys. Oh, I'm the king of the swingers. Oh, the jungle VIP. I've reached the top.
I
wanna be like you. Doop 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 doop. I wanna walk like you. Something else I saw cool on YouTube is they actually took all his dance movements. Lou Bega, not Lou Bega, dear Lord, that he's not even born then. I forget the guy. Louis Prima.
Number five.
Louis Prima, they actually took his dance move, and his band actually
one,
did the...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everybody in the car, so come on, let's drive to the temple in the jungle.
That song was?
I know.
My gosh.
Every once in a while, if you DJ at a bar club...
I like Mowgli, Baloo, Shikan, and Simba. I ran out of characters.
Was that like part of the music, or did you just make that up as you went along?
I was putting the Jungle Book characters into Mambo Number 5.
Man. That...
We did it as part of
our... My mom actually bought that CD.
Oh, I bought the single.
She bought the CD.
Oh, Lou Bega.
But like, like the 10 other songs on it.
She just didn't like...
Trying to sound like Mama Number 5.
Well, part of our senior band camp talent show skit was a parody of Mama Number 5. John and I's class. And we did it.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was good.
Man, I just remember I'd play that DJ every once in a while, depending on how the crowd was. The girls would eat that up. Uh-huh. Eat it up. It still possibly could do some damage.
Could work, yeah.
To the booty. Shaking it.
I can see it.
Yes, we can. beyond that, the only other review I have is I ordered the entire collection of A Bit of Fry and Laurie. I'm only going to review the first season.
Go for it. The 10 minutes I watched with you was hilarious.
Yes.
I fully admit I'd like to watch more. I'd really laugh.
They're all sketches. It's like SNL. No matter what, even SNL during its dry point is still hilarious in some cases. I'm assuming it's going to be the same for Fry. That's why I'm only review one season. It's downright hilarious. Matter of fact, you heard the opening. It's great. And Hugh Laurie is very musically talented, and he has some great stuff, so... and it's really nice to see them flex their chops, because most of the sketches, 95% of the sketches are written by Fry and Laurie, so very cool. And they do the whole Monty Python thing where they dress up and drag every once in a while for the other parts, for female parts, which is perfectly fine.
Yeah,
because it's
Nick thinks Hugh Laurie looks kind of hot in that miniskirt.
I totally did. I got nothing to really add to that. What other reviews you got?
I've got Workout. Which is one of two reality shows I watched? Because I watched Project Runway.
Oh, I remember this last year. There was a gay guy who died, and yet...
It was very, very sad because he died in real life. So, you know, yeah.
No.
This season, one of the trainers on the workout died last year.
What is the show?
The show, they're in their third season now. They started premiering after Project Runway like a year and a half ago. It's on Bravo. And Jackie Warner runs... She's from Dayton, Ohio? Somewhere in Ohio. I think near Dayton. It's where her mom still lives. And she's out in L.A., and she's running this exclusive gym called Sky Sport on top of a building. It's really cool. And she's got, like, several main trainers to work for. Although this season they're down 3 trainers from last year, but they've added, like, 5 new ones. So it's, like, a lot. But last year one of her trainers, like, the nice guy on the show, he was, like, 43. And I guess he'd lived longer than his father had. I mean, his family had some health problems with heart and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he kind of unexpectedly died pretty quickly near the end of last season. Now... I said in our review when I reviewed that his death bit that it was kind of a shame that they spoiled it by telling us at the beginning of the season that the whole season was dedicated to his memory. But on the other hand, since he's a real person, it's not really a spoiler. It's more they really wanted to honor this.
All you should do is Google it and see he's dead.
Well, but they didn't like really push it in the press. I didn't know he was dead until I saw that opening. And it was sad. I mean, it was real sad. And like the end of last season was them dealing with his death. Real, real sad. So this season 3 started. They're back. They've got a whole bunch of new trainers. The other 2 trainers that aren't on the show anymore, at least one of them still does clients at the gym. She just didn't do the show for whatever reason. They haven't really said. I looked online forever and couldn't figure out why either one of them.
That's like one of the Osborne daughters in the Osborne. She's always there, but she's Sharon? Never... No, not Sharon. One of the daughters. Amy?
Could be.
Yeah, she's always there, but she doesn't want to be on camera. Because apparently she didn't like the fact that, which by the way, I'm selling the Osbournes on DVD if anyone wants to look up my eBay and
make
sure look it up. I bought it because I caught on to the phase, but.
Well, anyway, about Workout. It's a whole different feel this season. And Brian Peeler, who's like my favorite, he's everybody's favorite trainer. I mean, he really clashes with Jackie a lot, but he's just good guy. I mean, he was the guy that died's best friend. He's one of the straight trainers. There's some straight male trainers and some gay male trainers. And then some really hot girls that are always like kissing on each other at the clubs. Which is kind of hot, the lesbian kiss, because Jackie's a lesbian.
And girls
the one
do
really
now,
hot
hey,
trainer
man, it's just
last
nuts.
Season who was straight and like fucking every guy she saw, like had an affair with Jackie. It was kind of cool. Anyway, but Brian got fired like a week or two ago by Jackie. And he's still in the theme song. I think it's been like 2 or 3 weeks now because he's still been in the episodes, but he's fired. Now he's homeless. His wife, who he just got married to last season, is divorcing him. Like all this bad stuff's happening. And he went to a benefit for the dead guy and got really, really drunk and tried to get his job back. And she turned him down. And it was kind of embarrassing for him. And the other trainers are still hanging out with him so they can keep him in the show and stuff. But it's like, Jackie's completely business-minded. From a business standpoint, they're going to have to let him come back at the end of the season. Most of the friction on that show is caused by him and her. And a lot of ways, I feel he's justified because she's kind of a stuck-up bitch I would not want to work for. It just saddens me that he's been fired. So I don't know what they're going to do to keep him in the show, but it was big news that he got fired. Really, really huge for the show. And then I just have my season premiere reviews. I've got like, 5 of them. 5 season premieres. Ha, ha, ha. Nick and I watched In Plain Sight last night with Mary McCormick. It's the new USA drama about...
She is so hot.
Program. She is. She's lost some weight since West Wing.
I don't care about that.
She was hot when she was a little bit chubby, too. And but now she's skinny.
What's that one movie, Private Parts, with Howard Stern? She played his wife. She was hot.
Mary McCormick's good actress. She can really act. I was underwhelmed by the episode, though. Like, maybe because I was tired or whatever. I mean, I'm going to give it another chance or two, but I was completely underwhelmed. I didn't impress me at all.
I liked it. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't like Burn Notice where it really grabbed you by the end of the...
I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah.
So. And with my recent purge of shows to try to watch less TV, if it doesn't improve in the next couple weeks, it's not going to make the cut.
You were in agreement that on Burn Notice you hate the family stuff anyway.
Yes.
I don't mind it as much as my thing is it's just that they make a point of one and try and include it in the first few episodes and then like the family disappears again until like the last episode.
Yeah.
So I get mad at that. Well, the thing is that that didn't annoy people. Though.
But on USA, they either do family good or they do it bad. For instance, on Psych, they do it fantastic. Corbin Benson, the father, the interaction, wonderful.
What was his name?
Corbin Benson.
The guy from Major League?
Psych. Yeah. He's on Psych.
Oh, that's who was?
The main character.
That's all I'm trying to think of.
Okay. No, I mean, he's great, and they're adding Cybill Shepherd as his ex-wife this season as the mother.
The mother.
As a reoccurring.
Cybill Shepherd, by the way, a big whore. She's screwed
absolutely.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
Everyone
except me. Come on, Cybill. Give me a call. Not really. I don't really want to screw Cybill Shepherd.
Morgan, we're sorry for that.
I don't really want to screw Cybill Shepherd, but I like her show, Cybill. They just don't do it right. It's like USA has proven they can do the family bits right, but they're not doing it right on Burn Notice, and they're definitely not doing it right on In Plain Sight. So, I mean, they even got Leslie Ann Warren to play Mary McCormick's mom. Great casting, just didn't work.
But they just need to add more shots of her naked on a bed.
Probably. Mary McCormick.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
They almost
showed her ass. Almost.
I was very excited about that. I whooped and whooped until I couldn't anymore.
I did watch the premiere Million Dollar Password, mostly because Neil Patrick Harris is one of the two celebrities.
I wouldn't watch that show unless it had Neil Patrick Harris in it.
Well, exactly. I'm not going to keep watching it. I might watch Betty White's.
I really didn't want to watch it the first time with Neil Patrick Harris, but it was interesting for like 2 seconds.
Well, Neil Patrick Harris was very entertaining, and both times he beat out Rachel Ray at helping the contestants better, so both times he got to go on to the second
round. Take that, best week ever, Rachel Ray.
I don't like Rachel Ray. She's annoying. She's obnoxious.
Jeez. I just think she looks cute.
Ugly.
She looks like Lisa Loeb. With blonde hair, and I like Lisa Loeb.
I don't think she's cute.
I think she's cute. So it wasn't until I saw her in like CSI where they did that switching of the cast. She played the Christine Baranski part.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only time I ever looked at her. I was like, wow, she's not hot there because she doesn't look like Lisa Loeb. And I got sad. That means if I married her, I would have to have glasses on her that looked like Lisa Loeb the entire time. And I'm like, no, no. leave your glasses on even when you sleep. I want to have this beautiful visage of you forever. And then we'd be divorced because I can't accept her for who she is.
Anyway.
Booyah!
Neil Patrick Harris is very entertaining, and I'm going to keep an eye if there's any other celebrities I want to see. Like, Betty White's doing it next week. I'll probably watch the bits with her in it. Then I'll check it out. But if there's celebrities I don't care about, for instance, the next episode that's airing this week, yeah, I'm not going to record it. It's more of a whatever. Minor Mencia came back. He did a really funny parody about Indiana Holmes. He's like, Indiana Jones is just a thief. So he went to a convenience store and stole like a 40-ounce. It was really funny. And then this big fat clerk woman was chasing him. And then she turned into a giant boulder and rolled down the aisle after him. Did you see it?
No, but I can imagine.
Yeah. I found it. Minor Mencia, the first season, I tuned in a couple times and was bored and didn't watch it. But last season, I got really into it. And this season...
I just don't like the man, and as such, I don't want to watch the show because he steals other comedians' art.
Everybody does that. All the comedians do that.
No.
Speaking of comedians, and I didn't put this in my show notes, I should have. Kevin Pollock was the funny bone this weekend, and I got to go see him.
Pollock or Pollock?
Whatever, Pollock. I got to go see Kevin Pollock.
Pollock. Like Jackson Pollock.
I know, shut up.
Sidney Pollock.
Now I'm not going to be able to say it.
Who passed away. We're very sad.
Yeah. Kevin Pollock. Kevin Pollock was live at the Columbus Funny Bone this Sunday. A friend of mine got some tickets. I was in the second row. I had heard a lot of his stand-up before, like on the Bob and Tom show when he did his Alan Arkin stories and his Christopher Reeve impressions and stuff. And two-thirds of his show was impressions. And they're funny. I mean, I enjoyed it just as much in real life as I did on the radio. Even though I'd heard a lot of it before, I still laughed a lot. But after the show, this kind of disappointed me.
He was a douche.
Clint really wanted to get his autograph, my friend that was with me. And we both really had to go to the bathroom, so I went to the bathroom first. And as I came out, he was walking backstage again, so I got like a picture of his back on my cell phone. Clint's like, we have to stay. He's going to come back out, so whatever. So he comes back out with his wife or girlfriend or whoever he's with, some female companion. And he's like trying to get out of there as fast as he can, like making a beeline for the door. And Clint's like, Mr. Pollock, want to talk to him? And he turns around. He's like, can I please get a picture real quick? And Kevin's like, okay. So I'm like, I got it because I have my camera phone out. And so I snap a picture of Clint and Kevin. And before I can say, hey, why don't you let me get a picture too? He turns and like, runs for the door as fast as he can. Like, whatever. I don't need a picture with him. I'm happy.
Maybe it was the fact that maybe you or Clint said his name incorrectly.
I don't know. I didn't say his name. It would have been Clint. But I thought he was saying it correctly. He just seemed like kind of
a... No, Clint's a good guy.
Clint wasn't mad. He's like, you know, it's probably his last show of the weekend. It was a Sunday night. He probably just wants to get out. And I can see that, but I'm like, come on. Chat with your fans for just a second. It was a little disappointing to me because
I really enjoyed the show. He seems a guy that just kind of left me with a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. It did seem like that. It's like he didn't care about his fans. He's had his fame and career. He doesn't need anything else.
Well, see, that's the other thing, too, is that it always makes me wonder, like, when do we really catch them on a good day or a bad day? Because supposedly one of the meanest celebrities in Hollywood is Jim Carrey, but then you have other reports where saying, like, there are a bunch of kids parked in a school bus parked behind his car just driving down the street with Jenny McCarthy, and they see it's him, and so he gets out and signs all their book bags.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a mean guy to me. That sounds like a very nice guy. But so it really just catches when you catch them now. If they're tipping somebody, that's inexcusable. You all should die for not tipping.
It would be more proper, as Nathan would say, not inexcusable.
Well, Nathan's not here, so I don't care.
So I was taking this role for him. I'm taking my role, but I don't care. Celebrities like anybody else are going to have a good day or a bad day. The problem is they got attention on them every day. So, yeah, I see that. It just left me with a little bit of a bad taste after enjoying his show and liking his work for a number of years. It was like, come on, take a picture with us real quick. Don't brush past as quick as possible.
That's right.
But I got a picture on my phone of him and Clint, and that's kind of cool. So
we should put that as our image this week.
Him and Clint?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll email it to you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Also, Last Comic Standing. I've never watched the show before, but because of the big panel of judges they're going to have with all the Office stars and stuff, I decided to watch it. Now, we're not at that point yet. I know they've aired 2 weeks. This is the third week, maybe tonight. I only watched the first one. But it was funny. I mean, there were some really funny comedians. I really enjoyed the show. I'm looking forward to see how it goes. Fred Willard was one of the judges for half of the episode this week. I enjoyed it. Nick overheard part of it. What did you think?
It was okay.
Some of the jokes are really funny.
The one guy who does the impressions, I expect to see go places, but that's...
He did Family Guy impressions, and he did He did Bush too, and Fred Willard's like, don't do Bush, everybody's done Bush. Stick with your Family Guy, that's quirky and different. And I'm like, wait a second, everybody I know does Family Guy. So to me, they weren't so
yeah,
quirky
but not,
and different.
But he
did Peter and Brian and Stewie and Cleveland and Quagmire. And he did a great job. I mean, he was really funny, I'm glad he went. And the first set of people I agreed with, the judging. Kathy and Jimmy and Fred Willard, I did not so much agree with their judging. They passed the one guy I really liked, but they passed up two guys I really liked for a guy that I thought was
yeah, there was one guy who came off like a total like ass muncher, like because he was just so optimistically happy, full of energy.
Yeah.
And then when you actually saw his like the night of you know performance, he was really good. It worked it worked out for him. I thought that he was at least should have gone forward one more round, not the other guy that they picked.
Right.
Who was just like cranky and stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm a mean, cranky old bald man. I'm going to make mean, cranky old bald man jokes. Like the internet. What's up with that, huh? Anyone? How about you right there in the cap? You don't like the internet too? Well, fuck, man. God.
Nargon at AOL still what you want it sent to?
Yes. Read my email live over the air.
It's on your website.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not? Whatever. you can beep it.
I'm lazy.
You
I'm
have the
beep
picture
it.
Of Kevin and Clint. It is set
Thank
to your
Thank you.
God.
Dribbleforkids.com. Dribbleforkids.com.
Goodbadgeeky@gmail.com.
Not D4K.
Goodbadgeeky@gmail.com. Write us. Especially if your name is Pat Godwin, who we haven't shouted out to this episode.
No, we did mention Pat Godwin very early in the episode. Mm-hmm. We just said his name.
We didn't shout out. Pat Godwin, I love
Godwin.
You. The last review I have is the Venture Brothers came back after a 2-year absence that ended on a cliffhanger. The Venture Brothers returned for a third season. And it was called like something something episode 9. It was like really weird name. And the Venture Brothers weren't in it at all. They even redid the theme song to make it all about the Monarch and Dr. Girlfriend. Dr. Girlfriend, who's really hot and voiced by a man. I love that.
She looks like Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah, she's hot. And
Jackie Kennedy is not hot.
Dr. Girlfriend's hot.
Jackie Kennedy is not hot.
She doesn't always dress like Jackie Kennedy. Sometimes she wears that clear suit with just the strategic pieces of tape. Anyway, because they ended with them getting married and them on their honeymoon. And so the whole episode was about the Monarch and Dr. Girlfriend. It was really good. It was totally a different episode, but that's what they did last year for the Venture Brothers premiere. Where they redid the theme song to make it look like the Venture Brothers are still dead and everything. So I expect the Venture Brothers will be back next week. But it was good. I love the Venture Brothers. It's my favorite Adult Swim show. I really was convinced they're canceled since it's been almost 2 years. And I'm very pleased to see them come back.
Every time I think of the Venture Brothers, I think of the theme song to The Tick. I don't know why. Because I know it has really nothing to do with them. That was my imaginary computer.
I really don't know what the hell that was, though.
Are you going to insert JT's commercial somewhere in our break space? Or put it
No, I'm just going to mention it right here. JT, Ooks.
This is the first episode in a long time we've left it off, so you shouldn't be too bad.
No.
We're giving him a shout-out because we like JT.
Of course. Gigcast.
I'm sure we'll have a promo back in by next week.
Yeah.
Of the picture that's going to be posted as our logo this week, Kevin
Pollock
is the bald one, just in case you don't know.
Wow, I was a little nervous there.
The other guy is Clint Naramore. He at the moment isn't, but is often single, ladies. Write us a goodbadgeeky@gmail.com. We'll hook you up. Actually, he will be performing at the Funny Bone this coming Tuesday.
Clint. Wow.
They do an sort of an open mic night, but you have to like pass to get in or whatever. And depending on how good you are and how many people show up, they'll give you longer sets. And so I've already reserved 2 tickets for Morgan and I. If you guys are interested, 7:30. The tickets are only $5. Yeah, you're still at work. 7:30. The tickets are only $5. Connor's room. If he gets 10 people reserved for his name, then they give him a longer set. And he already like tried out part of his act on the manager of the Funny Bone. Like, you're really funny. We'll definitely give you some extra time and stuff. So
cool.
He is actually. I've seen he tried out for Shadowbox and almost made it. He's a pretty funny guy. So I'm looking forward to seeing Clint do stand up at Funny Bone. But anyway, that's all I got this week. What about you two?
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yay!
Go away! We're having a good time until you son of Jesus! Go have some coffee with cream or something, because I'll tell you something. This is a happy place.